time for Vikings Country with John Sullivan on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Country with John Sullivan is presented by Dick's Last Resort Restaurant and Bar, located on the fourth floor at Mall of America. Fun for all and all in fun. Now, along with Minnesota Vikings center John Sullivan, here's your host, Mike Mussman.
All right, welcome to Vikings Country. Not necessarily Mike Mussman. He is off winning some award. I'm Corey Coe from the Power Trip Morning Show, and we are here at Dick's Last Resort Restaurant and Bar at Mall of America. Fun for all and all in fun. But otherwise, the open is correct because John Sullivan joins me now. Hi, John.
What's going on?
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, you as well. You as well.
Are you a big trick-or-treater? I don't think so.
No. Usually I'm too tired from practice. It depends on what day of the week it falls on. But I did dress up the other night, so I got that out of the way and partied a little bit.
Now, refresh my memory. What were you again?
I was a ballerina.
A ballerina.
Yeah, I wore a tutu and everything. It was pretty disgusting.
Did you go pink?
No, I went black. It was kind of black swan themed, but I didn't like paint my face or anything. I don't know. I was channeling my inner Natalie Portman.
Interesting. Black Swan. So this was a Vikings-related party.
Yeah, yeah. Jared and Kevin the past few years have been renting out Red Stone in Eden Prairie, and we get to have a little private party. We can all let our hair down a little bit.
So this is a public party.
See, it's not a public party.
But in a public place, see, that's even dangerous, right? Because you have to drive to the place. What if somebody spots you? I mean, were there pictures taken?
By
somebody, right?
By members of the team, yes. I have a few pictures. It got a little crazy at times, but it was, they rented out the restaurant, so it was totally closed to the public. People did try to come in, and I'm sure they were a little freaked out seeing a bunch of big guys sitting there in different types of costumes, ballerinas, and Charlie Johnson, like I mentioned to you yesterday, was the dude from the Blue Oyster Cult skit. You know, Will Ferrell
SNL.
On SNL. Yeah.
Did he go beer gut and everything?
He did.
He
yeah,
went beer midriff.
And he's built perfectly for that. so yeah, it really did work out well. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, are you built perfectly for a ballerina costume?
No, but I'm more limber than you might think. I try to do like one of those leg grabs, and then everybody was telling me I kept doing like first position, which I guess is like heels together, and then you kind of like bend your knees
sure.
or something. I don't know. I was just copying what I've seen on television a bunch.
But not much of a dancer? Ballerina or otherwise?
Ballet dancing, no. Regular dancing, yes.
So you could maybe do the Gangnam Style dance?
Yeah, that actually happened. And
it has happened?
It happened that night. Yeah, people were freaking out. All I know is I walked off the dance floor at that point absolutely sweating like I was in the middle
sure.
of a practice.
So I assume you can do it right now in front of the crowd here at Dick's Last Resort?
Does everybody want to see that?
Yeah, baby.
No, it's not happening. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we got the fake fire behind us. We have a stage. We have a perfect setting for a
Gangnam Style
dance.
I just practiced this afternoon, and I owe it to my teammates to let my body rest and recover. So, sorry, guys. I don't mean to disappoint.
Yeah, they're pretty pissed. So I assume you trick-or-treated when you were little, right?
I did.
Allowed to do so?
I did.
Big candy guy? Are you still a big candy guy?
I mean, I'm 300-plus pounds, yeah.
Are you allowed to be a candy guy? Like, does the train staff get pissed if they find out you go to fast food?
No, not at all.
I mean, basically,
do they encourage it? We weigh in. It's funny because people ask all the time, does your team manage everything that you eat? Are you on a specific diet? And that's much more of a college football type deal. In the NFL, it's just about, making weight every week, having the best body composition possible. But if you can get there by eating McDonald's three times a day, go right ahead. They don't care. It's much more on the individual player. We're professionals. We know what we need to do now. In terms of candy and the training staff, we actually have candy in Eric Sugarman's office. And I go
for God's sakes, his name's Sugarman.
Yeah, exactly. And I go
you
in
better
there.
Have candy.
I go in there every single day, and I take a few pieces of candy before practice just to get my head in the right place. It's a little treat
sure.
to get mentally prepared to go out there and suffer for a few hours.
Yeah, a little sugar rush. You'll deal with diabetes later.
Exactly.
Trust me, I'm going to be in that boat, too. It's no big deal. But is there a weight, though, that you are unwilling to get to? Like, if the Vikings came back to you and they spent thousands of dollars on some research study and they said, John, we just found out that with our offense, we'd be 23% more productive if you weighed 525.
I would
you do it?
I don't know. We may have to renegotiate a little bit because that's really putting yourself in harm's way.
What if they said that they need Jerry Ball at center?
I don't think I can live up to Jerry
Ball. Williams. That's did you grow up wanting to be a center? Because I don't think any kid does that.
You know, I started out playing on the offensive line. I always played line because I was too big as a youth football player to play any of the skilled positions, which is insulting to begin with that they're called skilled positions. But I was always a big kid, so I played offensive line from the start, and my coaches moved me to center at some point in the season when I was in fourth grade, and I've been at that spot pretty much ever since. So,
wow.
I enjoy playing on the line. My favorite player growing up was Rod Woodson. I really wanted to be a cornerback, but you know, I'm kind of like a heavyset white dude, so that really wasn't in the cards for me. So,
but when you get stuck around fourth grade, so 9 or 10 years old, at center, then do you start looking up to centers? Was there a center or two in the NFL that you said, all right, if I'm going to play center, if I'm going to be the pudgy white kid that's going to be stuck on the offensive line, did you look up to somebody specifically?
I knew who Dermonte Dawson was because he played on the Steelers along with Rod Woodson when I first started taking an interest in the sport. But not particularly. You know, I mean, you see a lot of the greats as you're coming up. I mean, Kevin Mawai was one of the best centers in the NFL, you know, throughout my high school, college career. Obviously, I took notice of Matt Burke when he was playing for the Vikes. And was I really that into any centers in the NFL in terms of being a huge fan or owning a jersey? No. I mean, I'm like any other. You know, you can separate out being a professional player and being a fan at heart, and that's just not in the cards for us.
So right now, if you're a defensive back for the Minnesota Vikings, basically the question you get asked, I would say about once a week, is, isn't it great learning from Antoine Winfield, right? It's every single week. That's like the go-to question for us media jackals.
Yeah, it's just how you guys say, hey, Antoine's pretty old, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He must be some kind of sage, right?
He's still incredible, though.
He is. He's amazing. But you must have had the same thing with Matt Burke the first couple of years of your career every single week. You know, what was it like learning
from
Matt Burke?
I'm still getting that question.
Does it get old?
Quite a bit. It only gets old when the same person asks it 100 times. I'm not going to go into who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've been asked that quite a bit. It doesn't get old. I mean, I really do appreciate the time that I spent on this team with Matt. But it was so short-lived. And, you know, I've explained it in the past. It was bittersweet when he left because he's a great guy. He's a great teammate. And he was a great player. Still is. But in order for me to get a chance to play, I needed him to move on. It really wasn't in the cards for me if he was here. You know, I was going to be the backup. That's just the way it worked at that point. So it was great when he moved on. I learned a lot from Hutch. You know, he was more of my mentor than Matt was, even though I tried to pick Matt's brain when he was here, obviously, because we were playing the same position.
And he went to Harvard.
Yeah, and he went to Harvard. He's very intelligent.
Smart dude.
Yes, very smart. But, I do get tired of the question, you know, how much did I learn from Matt, but at the same time, I'm totally appreciative of what he did for me.
What'd you learn from Matt, though?
Don't start, man.
All right, fair enough.
Don't start. We have a rough past. You and I.
we still do? You and I do?
Well, we'll always have a rough past. Things are very smooth right now.
Oh, okay. So, and it had nothing to do with Steve Hutchinson?
No, nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
See, I still will always claim that you and I, though, and I'm not hitting on you, I'm not asking for your phone number, although I guess I technically have it.
Yeah, you do.
You and I could text each other, but I think you and I are very similar because we're both very outspoken. It seems like you're stubborn. I'm a pretty stubborn guy as well.
No, right? I'm not stubborn.
You're not?
No.
You come off as a little stubborn.
Yeah, I know.
We both like trivia.
Yeah, I like trivia.
Right? We like board games.
Yeah, yeah. I'll play some board games.
Let's hang out sometime. Let's get an apartment and see what happens.
You want to?
Not really. I mean, maybe. You're a little too young for me. I like hanging out with guys my own age.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I kind of put myself on the spot there. I would say you look like 29, but you're probably like 33.
32. Exactly.
Yeah. So
you're just too young for me.
That's all right. I can handle that.
Exactly.
Better than being too old, I guess.
Let's go all the way back, since it is Halloween. Let's go all the way back to when you were younger. You said you were a trick-or-treater. I think most of us were. But were you a prankster, or were you the kind of guy that toilet papered a house here or there, maybe forked the lawn?
No, I never did that. I may have taken, you know, if the bowl was left at home on the stoop and it said, take one, please, I may have taken a few more than one.
Sure.
I wouldn't take the whole bowl. I can't stand kids that do that. But I'd take a few, especially if it was good candy. And I wasn't really a prankster. I did have a kid once who put a stink bomb in my backpack of candy.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to kill him so bad.
Well, you must have been bigger than him. Why didn't you?
I did. I threw him into a leaf pile. Yeah, but we played football together at the time, so I got pretty upset about it. I cried because I was, you know, a big kid. And
Sure.
You know, I was in like fifth grade. So.
Never forked a lawn, though? Never egged a house?
What is forking a lawn?
You put plastic forks, you just spike them into a lawn.
Yeah.
And they basically break off. So it's just an absolute disaster.
Really?
To get the lawn. Oh, yeah. And if you end up mowing the lawn without getting it all clean, it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
So that's a good one for the kids out there on Halloween night if you're listening. If you're still going to go out and wreak some havoc, plastic forks, stick them right in the lawn.
Don't encourage that type of behavior. As a homeowner, that's like the scariest thing in the world. This thing, you've got a bunch of just hooligan kids at your house just messing up all your stuff.
Well, you're out here. That's probably happening right now.
I know. Speaking
of kids, let's spin back to one day. Probably a really big day for you yesterday, right? The Sullivan Park opens up. The Sullivan Playground opens up at the Children's Amplatz Hospital. I got to think being rich is cool for a million different reasons, right? But not to get all zappy, but I got to think doing what you did yesterday has got to be one of the best parts about being rich is you have the ability to throw $150,000 at a hospital to help out a bunch of kids.
You know, I've explained my history with the hospital a bunch. I started going to the visits in 2008. And, you know, we do three a year. And we had our first visit yesterday after we unveiled the renderings of the new playground. But when I found myself in a position with the new contract, and I, like you're talking about, I had the money and I could make a difference, I definitely wanted to do something. The opportunity was presented to sponsor the playground as opposed to doing their Adopt-A-Room program, which in itself is incredible. I mean, when I first started going, they were actually at the old hospital, and they had one model room of what the new hospital is going to look like. And now to see those kids over there and see, you know, where all the donations to that hospital have gone, I mean, it's really, they're changing lives and doing incredible things. And for me personally, it feels incredible to be able to give a gift like that. I'm so happy that the kids are going to get use out of it. And not just the kids that are sick, but their siblings as well that are, you know, struggling through a family member's illness. That's got to be very difficult. And, you know, if $150,000 and then, you know, the other donations made by Lead the Way Foundation and, Chad and his wife Jenny and the Vikings, thanks to them, by the way, for helping me get to the $200,000 mark. You know, it's money well spent. It's well worth it. I see it as investing in other people's happiness. And, you know, there's nothing I'd rather spend my money on more.
And you said it on the power trip yesterday, but the cool thing about that playground is it's not just slides and monkey bars. There are some specific really high-tech ideas for kids that aren't in the position to just go down like normal kids. These are sick kids, and a lot of them have issues dealing with a standard playground.
Yeah, I mean, there's some state-of-the-art stuff. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend like I know everything that's going on. We left that up to the experts, the professionals. You know, we're just writing the check. But they did explain some of it. To us, I mean, the slide apparently is state-of-the-art. It'll allow a kid with an IV or a pump to go down. You know, enjoy, like I said before, enjoy a little bit of normalcy that a kid who's not ill, you know, gets to enjoy on a daily basis. So we couldn't be more excited about it. I can't wait to see the finished product next spring. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible day for Amplatz and, you know, for us.
See, now you got to not get cut or traded in the next couple of years. You got to let this thing play out so it builds.
That's all right. You know, I really... Whatever happens with football, this is totally separate. You know, I mean, I appreciate the community as a member of the Vikings. And, you know, obviously they gave me the contract that allowed me to give this donation. But at the same time, you know, it's totally separate. I'll cherish this playground forever, regardless of whether or not I'm a member of the Vikings.
Speaking of the Minnesota Vikings, great seats are still available for all remaining Vikings home games. You can go to Vikings.com/tickets or call Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. John, when we come back, we'll talk to you about your Notre Dame squad and, of course, look ahead to Seattle and hopefully just completely forget about that Tampa Bay game, because I
think
a lot of the fans here probably want to forget about that game as well.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So we'll
talk to John Sullivan when we come back about his undefeated Notre Dame squad and the Seattle Seahawks right after this on Vikings Country Live from Dick's Last Resort at Mall of America. Welcome back to Vikings Country Live from Dick's Last Resort Restaurant and Bar at Mall of America. I'm Corey Coe from the Power Gym Morning Show, along with Vikings center John Sullivan. And you can check out the Vikings locker room. Of course, it's downstairs, John, at the Mall of America here for the latest selection of official team merchandise, including the new Nike game jersey. Select Vikings merchandise is also available for a special discounted price here at Dick's Last Resort during all tapings of Vikings Country. So get out and do that. Do a lot of Sullivan jerseys sell?
No, they don't carry them, I don't think.
I got to think your family members though and stuff have them too, right? You can order them all.
You can order. I think
NFL.com.
And I think you can probably order, replica jerseys at this point. Sure. I know at one point you had to order the customized, like $300 or $400 jersey, but I think you can just make your own replica at this point. Although I've never bought one, sure. So I don't really know.
So, this is where you got to be mad at Matt Burke because there were tons of Burke jerseys.
Yeah, but I know he's a local guy. He made a bunch of Pro Bowls. I can understand that.
Well, when are you going to make a Pro Bowl?
That's not up to me. No comment.
Well, you and I always talk about the fact that it's very hard for media people, fans, to judge offensive line play because it's almost impossible. All you can do is it's perception is reality, right? If it looks like you got your butt kicked, the fans and the media people are probably going to think that you got your butt kicked, even if you were bailing somebody else out. But if you go around the league, since you have the eye for it and we don't, who are the dominant centers right now? Who's a guy or two maybe that we don't even know about that you think is just off the charts?
I know the one example I can think of best is the past couple of years, I believe since he got in the league, Maurkice Pouncey has been one of the all-pro centers. I know they do a first team and a second team, but his brother Mike right now down in Miami is playing his tail off from everything that I've heard. I know there's a guy in Houston, Chris Myers, who's an excellent player. Our left tackle's brother, Matt Cleal's brother, Ryan, down in Carolina, who's out for the year with an injury, which is unfortunate, but he's one of the best centers in the league as well. So there are a bunch of good guys out there.
Be as objective as you want to be, but are you a top five guy, a top 10 guy? How high up the ladder do you think you are?
I don't mess with that. Rankings and all that stuff. I don't know what those guys are asked to do on a play-by-play basis or how they're coached. So it's really just too hard to judge. I leave that to the people that are, paid to make judgments on players.
So I was told through the grapevine that you had a nice little trip down to Oklahoma last week.
I did.
To watch your undefeated Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Doesn't that sound so good to say on Halloween?
But in our lifetimes, that really hasn't happened. I mean, maybe when we were younger, right? In the 80s, I think they had a couple of dominant years. But
88, I think, was their last national championship. Sure. In 93... They looked like they were on their way until they lost to Boston College.
Was that the Rick Meyer year?
I think that was 93? Ron Paulus, 93.
Paulus, okay.
Yeah. So, my Notre Dame career was very up and down. We started out my true freshman year. I didn't play. I redshirted. We were 5-7, 6-6 my sophomore year. And then we were one win short of potentially going to the national championship game. If we had beaten USC, we thought we would have gotten in because we would have had the head-to-head lead over them. And then another BCS game in 2006. I didn't want to go into 2007. But, it was very up and down. But this team, they're winning games. They're 8-0, I believe, right now. And they're not winning games in a fluky way whatsoever. I mean, they're really going out there and beating teams and really just pounding on people. I cannot tell you how impressed I was with their defense. Rudolph and I were down on the field pregame and stayed there the entire game. But we walked by, and they have some monsters on their defensive line. And then obviously the kid Manti Te'o is just, one of, if not the best players in college football.
Can they beat Alabama, though? Can Oregon, can Notre Dame, can K-State, can they beat Alabama?
Well, according to Steve Spurrier, probably not, considering he said he thinks Alabama can play with an NFL team, which is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard in my life. But, I think they can beat Alabama. I really do. I think it's premature to talk about it, but I'm not on the team, so that's fine. If they make the national championship game, and I know that there's a multitude of things that have to happen for that to take place, but they can win that game. They're set up very well with a dominant defense to beat one of those SEC teams. Look at Alabama and LSU a year ago. Alabama's not much different of a team this year, I don't feel. Defensive matchups, and I think, they've got enough playmakers on offense that they can get that done.
All right, you care about Notre Dame, Alabama. The rest of us here at Dick's Last Resort in Vikings country care about the Seattle Seahawks because that's the opponent.
Well, trust me, I care
Sunday.
About the Seattle Seahawks a lot more than I care
more
about
than Alabama?
Yes, trust
really,
me.
Really, is that right? This week's scouting report is brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Let's look ahead to yet another rookie quarterback. You guys have already seen Andrew Luck. You've seen Robert Griffin III, and now you get to rookie quarterback Russell Wilson in Seattle.
Yeah. Obviously, he's doing a heck of a job so far. They're 4-4. I know they feel like they could be a little bit better than that. They've played some close games. And, it's hard for me to judge Russell Wilson, considering we don't spend any time as our offense watching their offense. We've had a few common opponents. I know that they're a very physical offensive line. They run the ball. He's done a great job play action passing and in that phase of the game. For us on the offensive side, after our first day of, work towards, preparing for this game on Sunday, they've got a physical front. They do a great job stopping the run, and they are probably the biggest secondary in NFL history. just a bunch of monsters back there. So it's a big challenge for us, but at the same time, in a physical football game, you know, we always feel like we're going to be the most physical team.
We always hear about the 12th man in Seattle, that their crowd was just overwhelmingly loud. But when you're on the road, once it gets to a certain level, does it really matter if it's at an 8 or at an 11?
That's a great point, and I was actually going to say that. If you can't hear, you can't hear. So, getting any louder, obviously, I think the big thing about the 12th man there is the energy that they give their team. You actually can tell that it's getting loud even though you can't hear it all. But, you know, the fans, and we have great fans here at the Metrodome. I mean, that place gets rocking. And Seattle's, you know, in that same mode. Their fans really get behind their team. They give them a lot of energy, and they make it tough on visiting teams. But, you know, we've prepared for that, and it won't be anything new for us.
And whether it's fair or not, you know this, too, that all eyes are going to be on Christian Ponders from a fan's perspective because he struggled the last couple of games, and we want that Christian Ponder that we saw the first 4 weeks to come back.
You know, we're going back to the whole football judgment thing.
Sure.
It's hard to know where, you know, certain instances have come from in terms of the past few weeks. But whatever people are saying about Christian, if they're placing blame, it's unfounded. When we're not executing as an offense, it doesn't fall on the quarterback. Is he our most important player? Yes. But that just means that we need to do a better job around him, make his job easier. As an offensive line, and that's the only perspective I can speak from because that's what I play, we need to protect him better. You know, we need to make sure the run game gets going so that it takes some pressure off the passing game. And, you know, he's going to be just fine. It's still early in his career. He's done a great job so far. He's a great leader. And you want guys to go through, you know, trial periods like this. He'll really show his true colors. And he's going to work his way through it.
You know, you didn't say it, but let me ask you this. You're not saying that it's not a lack of effort. You're just saying some guys are, you know, not – they're getting beat on a play or they're not making a play. But it was interesting because I just heard Kevin Love an hour or so ago talk about how last year's Timberwolves squad had a couple of guys, two or three guys, that didn't just have that competitive drive like the rest of the team. So when you get a guy or two out there on the floor that doesn't quite give it his all every single second, it drags the rest of the team down. That's a 12-man rotation on an NBA team. Mm-hmm. Football's 53, it's physically impossible to have all 53 guys jacked up. That's got to be pretty hard if you have a guy or two that's not giving full effort.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the coaches, I mean, they're constantly striving for is to make sure that you can identify those guys and get them out of there. But at the same time, what was really going on is, you know, everybody took their turn. In the recent games of making a mistake here or there, and it really takes all 11 guys.
Good luck against Seattle.
Thanks.
That's John Sullivan, everybody of the Minnesota Vikings here at Vikings Country at Dick's Last Resort. And, of course, they're proud to host Vikings Country every Wednesday night beginning at 6:30. Make sure you join us next Wednesday night here at Vikings Country with Chad Greenway. And, of course, Mus will be back from his Big Shot Award at the CMAs. Vikings Country has been presented by Dick's Last Resort Restaurant and Bar at Mall of America. Fun for all and all in fun. I'm Corey Cove. That's John Sullivan. And this has been Vikings Country. We'll